Welcome to Torat Imecha, Nach Yomi with the OU Women's Initiative. My name is Leah Feinberg, and today we will be studying Shmuel Bet, Perek Chaf Gimel, Chapter 23. At the opening of our Perek, we find what is essentially an epilogue to the Shira of the last Perek. Pasuk Aleph, verse 1, Ve'ela divrei David ha'acharonim, Ne'um David ben Yishai, u'ne'um ha'gever hukam al, Mashiach Elokei Yaakov Uneim Zmirot Yisrael. These are the final words of David, the words of David, son of Yishai, the words of the man established on high, the anointed one of the God of Yaakov, pleasing composer of the songs of Israel. Rashi explains that the final word of David refer not to the last words ever spoken by David, because although we are nearing the end of David's life and career, we're not quite there yet. Rather, these are the last words of prophecy spoken by David. David is described in this pasuk by four titles. The first, Ben Yishai, speaks of his roots, highlighting both that he is the son of a righteous man and that even in his youth, as a shepherd of his father's sheep, he spoke words of Ruach HaKodesh, divine inspiration. In addition to his inherent spiritual receptivity, he was a gever hukam al, a man established on high, raised to an even higher level by the greatness granted to him, that he was anointed king and that he would be the ancestor of the Melech HaMashiach. Da'at Sofrim explains that Hashem is called here Elokei Yaakov, the God of Yaakov, to clarify that David was king over all 12 sons of Yaakov, since the term Yisrael had been used sometimes in the Sefer to refer to the tribes other than Yehuda. So here it's everybody, including Yehuda, all the sons of Yaakov. At the end of the pasuk, Ne'im Zmirot Yisrael, David was the composer of pleasing songs that glorify Hashem, and here the term Yisrael is used because Yisrael implies spiritual superiority. Pasuk Bet, verse 2, Ruach Hashem diber bi umilato al lishoni. The spirit of Hashem spoke through me. His word is on my tongue. Da'at Sofrim interprets this as further evidence of David's humility. Don't think my wisdom is my own, that all my accomplishments are due to my own skill or strategy. Rather, they are all credited to Hashem. According to Da'at Sofrim, David is referring to his military victories in connection with the previous perek, while Radak explains that David is referring to the Mizmorei Tehillim that he authored. It's not me, it's Hashem. Pasuk Gimel, verse 3, Amar Elokei Yisrael, Li Diber Tzur Yisrael, Moshel Ba'adam Tzadik, Moshel Yirat Elokim. The God of Israel has spoken. The Rock of Israel said concerning me, He who rules men justly, he who rules in awe and reverence of God. Malbim interprets this verse as a prophecy concerning the Melech HaMashiach. The term Moshel Ba'adam means that he will rule over all mankind, and he will do so in consequence of his righteousness and Yirat Elokim, his awe and reverence of God. Only one who masters himself, who lives a life of self-discipline and devotedness to God, may rule over others. Pasuk Dalid, verse 4. Uche'or boker yizrach shamesh, boker lo avot, minoga mimatar deshe me'aretz. Like the light of morning the sun will shine, a morning without clouds. From the shine of the rain, grass sprouts from the earth. David prophesies that the light of his kingdom will shine ever more brightly and lead to great productivity. Malbim continues to explain this as a messianic prophecy, explaining that while the light of the kingdom of David shone in increments, like the light of the dawn that appears gradually, the light of Mashiach will shine brightly all at once, even at its rising, will shine as brightly as the light of day. Grass needs both sunshine and rain to grow. David compares his kingdom to a sunny morning after a night's rain, with optimal conditions for growth and prosperity. Pasuk Hey, Ki lo chein beiti, imkel, ki vrit olam samli, aruchava kol ushmura, ki chol yish'i v'chol chefetz, ki lo yatzmiach. For my house is not so, it's not clouded over with Hashem, for he has granted me an everlasting covenant, established for all time and secure, for my entire salvation and desire have been fulfilled, and Hashem will not allow any other kingdoms to grow and replace Malchut Beit David. The last two psukim of this section speak of the destruction of the wicked, whom he compares to thorns that must be obliterated. Uvliya'al kekotzmunad, kulaham kulam kiloviyad yikachu. Godless men are like a wind-blown thorn, all of them, which cannot be caught by hand. V'ish yigabahem yimale varzel, v'eitz chanit uva'esh sarof yisarfu bashavet. One who touches them must protect his hand with iron tools and the shaft of a spear, and they must be thoroughly burnt in their place. The Alshich HaKadosh notes that even when David, the master of repentance, speaks of the destruction of the wicked, he allows for the possibility of tshuva, of repentance. The word kulam in Pasuk Vav is written with an extra he. The letter he in the Hebrew alphabet is closed on the top and on the right side, but open on the bottom, and on the left side there is a space between the top and the side. The Alshich cites the Midrashic teaching that the world was created with the letter he to indicate that evildoers will fall through the bottom to the abyss, but there is a window through which they can re-enter safely, which is the window of Teshuvah. The remainder of the parak consists of a list of the heroes of David's army. Some are mentioned only by name, and some are accompanied by a record of some highlight of their bravery. Not all served at the same time. The list reviews events that occurred throughout David's career. The number 3 appears often throughout the list, and Da'at Sofrim explains that units assigned to the king often went out in groups of 3. The list is introduced with the phrase, Pasuk Chet, verse 8, Eile shmot ha-giborim asher le-David yoshev bashevet tach kemoni, Rosh HaShalishi Hu Adino HaEtzni Al Shmonem Eot Chalal B'Pam Echad. These are the names of David's warriors who sat in the assembly, Tach Kemoni, a wise man. Da'at Sofrim understands this phrase as descriptive of David himself, who modeled the value that physical bravery alone does not make one a Jewish hero. A Jewish hero must primarily be a man of Torah and moral values, who also exhibits great courage on the battlefield. Radak cites the teaching of Chazal that this phrase describes Yoav, who is otherwise absent from the list in what would be a glaring omission were we not to attribute this description to him. Radak himself, though, prefers the literal meaning, which he defines as descriptive of the warrior Adino HaEtzni, who is credited with the defeat of 800 enemy soldiers at one blow. After him was Elazar, son of Dodo, son of Achochi, who was among the 3 Giborim, the 3 mighty heroes who were with David when he defeated the Plishtim, when they had gathered for war and Israel ran off. He arose and single-handedly struck the Plishtim until his hand tired of the sword, and Hashem performed a great salvation on that day. The soldiers of Israel returned only to strip the bodies of the Plishtim of their spoils. After him was Shama, the son of Agei Harari, of the mountain. The Plishtim assembled as a herd, and there was a portion of the field filled with lentils. The nation fled from the Plishtim, and Shama stood firmly, alone in the field, and saved it, and Hashem performed a great salvation on that day. Another episode. A unit of 3 men, who were officers over 30 men, went down and came to David at harvest time to the cave of Adullam, where he was hiding from Shaul, and a Plishti raiding party was camped at the valley of Rephaim. David was then in the fortress, and there was a battalion of Plishtim in Beit Lechem. David said, "If only someone could give me water to drink from the well of Beit Lechem, which was inside the city gate." So the 3 heroes broke into the camp of the Plishtim and drew water from the well of Beit Lechem at the gate and brought it to David, who refused to drink it and poured the water out to Hashem. He exclaimed, Vayomer, in Pasuk Yud Zayin, verse 17, Vayomer, Chalila li Hashem me'asotizot, Hadam anashim haholchim b'nafshotam, velo avalish totam, ele asu shloshet hagiborim. Heaven forbid that I should drink this water. Is it not worth the blood of the men who risked their lives to get it? And he didn't want to drink the water. This is what these three men did. Abarbanel explains that David felt that the effort should be commensurate with the purpose to which the water would be put. The effort that these men expended was so great, the risk that they took was so real, that for David to simply drink the water would not do justice to their effort. Therefore, he gave the water as an offering to Hashem so as to elevate the use of the water to a level more commensurate with the effort of those heroes. Avishai ben Tsruya was the head of a unit of three, and he wielded his sword over 300 of the enemy and had a great reputation among the three. He was the most honored of the three, but did not compare to the first three. Benayahu ben Yehoyada was a valiant man of many achievements from Kavtzael. He struck the two commanders of Moab, and he went down and struck the lion in the cistern on a snowy day. Anyone who lives in Israel knows that to do anything in Israel on a snowy day is heroic, but particularly Benayahu ben Yehoyada. Da'at Sofrim sheds light on this act of bravery. He explains that Benayahu ben Yehoyada entered a spring to immerse himself in the mikvah before learning Torah on an excessively cold and snowy day. And while in the mikvah, he encountered a lion that had taken shelter in a little recess there. And despite the narrow shaft in which they were standing, and the fact of his complete unpreparedness and the lion's wrath at being disturbed, he was able to strike and kill the lion. He also struck down an Egyptian man of imposing appearance who was holding a spear. Benayahu was armed only with a club, but he managed to steal the spear of the Egyptian and kill him with his own weapon. These are the deeds of Benayahu ben Yehoyada, whose reputation among the three was great. He was more honored than the 30, but did not compare to the first three, and David appointed him to his charge. And we may remember that in the last account of David's cabinet, Benayahu ben Yehoyada was appointed head of the Kreti and the Pleti, the elite unit that answered to the king. The remainder of the perek consists of a list of names with no specific heroic acts attached to them. We will recognize the first and last names on the list: Asael, the brother of Yoav, the fast runner who was killed by Avner ben Ner in the battle against the forces of Ishbosheth at the beginning of the Sefer, is named first, and lastly, Uriah Hachiti. Thank you for studying together, Li'iloi Nishmat Frida bat Moshe Eliyahu.